The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I just feel like I'm back at home. I mean, we have been, we had a time, and we're still having a time, but
yes,
now
we're bringing that into our lexicon. We've had a time.
Yeah, we had a time, but now we're back home. I feel like, you know, we've been busy, and I am just so happy to be talking about Boy Meets World again.
Yeah, like, this is where it started. Like, I feel like we, like, it was like the busiest vacation of all time, but I feel like we went on a vacation last week and we like saw the sights, and you know, we did all the sightseeing, we did all the touristy things.
Right.
And now we're just back to our home base. Like, this is where we started. So we got our, you know, got our break. We like, this is us. And speaking of this is us, boy, oh, I have thoughts. But this is where we began. And so we are back again to Boy Meets World.
Did I say that?
Did you say what?
Back again.
No, I just did.
Shit, because I thought that I said that in my head.
Did you? I mean, it's like a RuPaul's Drag Race thing, so it makes sense. Like, back again. It's RuPaul's Drag Race,
right? I said that. I thought that was my joke, and I thought that you were just repeating my joke.
Oh.
I guess not.
Well, when I edit this, I'll know whether I repeated your joke or not,
I
guess.
I don't think so.
You know what? I probably did. It's
no,
fine.
No. girl, I gotta tell ya. I know I have come to the clubhouse and I got accepted.
My goodness gracious.
I'm now in the clubhouse. I am a star of the clubhouse, going and taking webinars and
So for like the people who are over the age of 23 that don't know what clubhouse is, can you please explain? Because I still don't know what it is.
I still don't know what clubhouse is, but okay, essentially it's kind of like a hangout. There are webinars going on at all times about a heap of different topics. So obviously I've been tuning into the podcasting seminars talking about like marketing and about, you know, branding and about, I don't know, other podcasting things. Like I did like a like one of those podcasting things where you introduce your podcast, and it's like a networking event. There, I mean, it's all a networking event. And then there's like, you know, our friend Rob Sesternino, he's mm-hmm. on it all the time buzzing, and he's talking about anything from Survivor or just a hangout. It's basically
so just people like, are just like listening, but yeah, they also but can be like panelists.
Panelists, you like raise your hand, they welcome you on. So yeah, it's like it's totally it's fun. It's kind of like a live podcast where mm-hmm. you know you could be talking with your friends and like somebody raises their hand, you can bring them on, add contributions. So there's that aspect. It's like a hangout aspect, it's like a seminar aspect. Rob called me the star of Clubhouse because I made such a raging debut. So
what did you do in your raging debut?
I was just talking about a whole bunch of stuff, but there was a whole like, you know, my whole millennials and all that stuff versus
oh, how millennials are killing like skinny jeans and stuff.
Well, no, we're not killing.
Oh no, that's Gen Z. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But like that whole thing, but I was also talking about, I mean, like just tons of stuff. Just having a good old time.
That's great.
Yeah, so but the funniest thing is that like you can't just sign up. You have to be either nominated or you have to like be on the waiting list and wait.
Oh, this is like exclusive.
It's like exclusive. But
so how did you get on? Who invited you?
I signed up, then I had to wait, and then my friend Megan accepted me. So I have two nominations to give out, or two people that I can add to the Clubhouse. I just don't have anybody to add. So if anybody wants to be part of the Clubhouse, yeah, I would invite you, Jessica, but, you know.
Listen, I'll let you handle the Gen Z social media because it's too much. It's too much.
I'm like, doing a lot for our brand, though.
Listen, you are. You represent our brand. I am so shitty with the social media. I'm the retweeter. Sarah is the one who tweets everything, and I retweet the shit out of it. Because I am on, like, Discord more than any other social media platform. I suppose mm-hmm. you could call Discord a social media platform.
I would say so.
Yeah, it's a bit different, but, like, I'm on that the most, and then I would say Twitter is second, and then Instagram is, like, a distant third. And Facebook is, like, I check it every once in a while. Yeah. Like, it is hard to keep up on everything. I don't think I could add Clubhouse as another one because it's so much, especially if I have to listen because I have, like, podcasts and audiobooks I got to get through people. Mm-hmm. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Well, you know, but you pop in, you pop out. Yeah, love the Clubhouse. How was your Monday?
It was good. So it is President's Day. So I had off and Will has like an afternoon evening shift at work. So we decided because we love Paul Rudd so much, he has a candy store in Rhinebeck, New York. So anybody who lives in the general upstate area, there's a town called Rhinebeck. It is about a little over an hour from where we are. And we were like, he has a candy store. Like, and this is a candy store he co-owns with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's like so cute and attractive, just like Paul Rudd. That we were like, let's go. Like, this will be fun. They sell Rice Krispie treats that has Paul Rudd's face on it and Jeffrey Dean Morgan's face on it.
Did you get that?
Yes, of course.
Oh, what's it called? So, you can't even tell us what it's called.
Oh, I'm sorry. Samuel's Sweet Shop, I think. Samuel's Candy Store, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rhinebeck, New York. And so we drove out there today. So we left this morning, brought our smoothies, brought our coffees, took a nice drive. It was actually really nice. Like, I don't leave the house. So to like drive and go somewhere was nice. It like did rain and snow a little bit, but it was fine. But it's like it's so tiny. So be warned, like it is a very small, because it's on like a main street of a tiny town, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very tiny shop. Yeah. So like because of the COVID safety precautions, which like good they have this, you know, it's like you can only have like a few people in the store at a time. So we didn't like spend a ton of time in there. Like I would browse for a very long time if it's not COVID times. Mm-hmm. But we kind of got in, got out, got our stuff. So we got like, we haven't eaten too much of it yet, but we got like homemade Reese's cups and the Rice Krispie treat. And Will got like marzipan, which I tried and I did not like. I know some people really love it. Mm-hmm. Not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really fun. So that's what we did this morning. And I've just been like hanging out pretty much all day, which has been
that sounds just nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at this candy store. It looks really, really intriguing.
Yeah, they had a lot of like cute stuff there. I really love like a homemade candy, like a homemade Reese's cup is really good for me. So yeah, not good for me. But
well, sounds like such a nice little rendezvous. I'm really happy for you, boo boo.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, like I said, I have not really left the house. So it was nice to leave the house today and head out. And yeah, that was good. But other than that, I was off work, so didn't really do too much. I'm trying to think. Oh, I have. This is the dumbest thing ever. So I know we come on and we talk about like, oh, what have we been watching this week? Like, what have we been watching on TV? Mm-hmm. I have like the dumbest suggestion, but literally because this is what we've been watching. So I never watched the show Stranger Things on Netflix because I do not like scary things. And I know people say, oh, so scary.
Yeah.
It was like, to me, it was marketed as a scary show. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm good. Will had seen seasons one and like partially season two. And so finally last night or the night before, I was like, you know what? Let's watch some Stranger Things. Like, I think I'm ready for it because I've watched some scary stuff, you know?
What brought you to be like, yes, I'm ready for Stranger Things?
I don't know. I think somebody maybe in the Post-Show Recaps Discord was like talking about it. And I saw it somewhere. And I was just like, I want to be in on the lexicon of Stranger Things. Right.
Yeah, I'm starting like, to get a little bit of FOMO with that Discord.
The Discord.
Yeah.
Everyone should have the FOMO. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So now we are watching Stranger Things. He has to work, and when he gets home from work, we're going to watch the season one finale. We binged, like, a lot within, like,
wow, you, like, really zoomed.
We zoomed.
So were you scared?
No, I'm not scared. Like, there are some creepy things. There's, like, very few jump scares. So everybody out there who's like me and doesn't like scary things, I would say there's, like, a few jump scares and very minor, like, scary creatures, I guess is how I'd put it. Mm-hmm. But I'm very upset. So anybody who's going to watch Stranger Things, like, tune out for, like, earmuffs. A minute.
Yeah.
Earmuffs. Because I will say that the first episode, first, like, two episodes, I was, like, standing Barb
to the heavens and back. I knew this is where it was going. Yes, of
and
course.
And I stand by. Like, the minute she comes on screen, I'm like, this is it. This is my girl. I love Barb.
Yep.
And I was, when I tell you I was devastated, I was devastated. And here's the thing. I was like, well, you know what? Maybe she's can make it. She can do it. Maybe she's okay. And then the very last episode so obviously I haven't watched the finale yet, but the episode I just watched was the one where Eleven goes into like the upside down universe or whatever the hell and sees Barb with like a nasty ass like slug coming out of her mouth or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, justice for Barb.
Do you remember that's what the hashtag was? It was all justice for Barb? Or did you just say that?
I know now that it's a thing, but I didn't obviously know that before I watched the show. I didn't know anything about the show besides I think I knew there was a character named Eleven and that was it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if it was a man, woman. I didn't know anything. But yeah, so I'm very upset, needless to say. Yeah. I am devastated. I hate a lot of the other characters because they do dumb things. Winona Ryder is fantastic. We love her.
Yeah. Very good. Yes. You'll love, I forget his name because it's the off season and you know that the sheriff,
he has Hopper.
Hopper has a great ass. So
the funny thing is like I started out the show hating Hopper.
Yeah.
And now I'm like more on board with him. But in the very beginning, I was like, this guy fucking sucks. Like,
yeah, but did you see his butt?
I mean, have we seen a lot of his butt? I don't know.
You'll see
butt. Bare butt or just like covered butt?
Just covered butt.
Oh, OK. I was getting excited for a second. Anyway, what have you been watching now that I've been rambling about Stranger Things for 5 minutes?
Okay, so this is like muchos embarrassing, and I don't like totally want to get into this, but it's not that embarrassing. I mean, people watch Twitch all the time. Why am I like making a big deal out of this? So
everybody watches Twitch.
I know. So like there's this like guy that I've been watching called Andrew Arcade since literally 2013. Like I started watching him and Rob around the same time that long ago, and if not 2013, 2012, like a very long time. And he does Sims videos, and there's a challenge in the Sims called Not So Barry, and it's a 10 legacy challenge. So it takes a very long time. Like I'm in the middle of the challenge. I haven't played Sims in a really long time. Like honestly, Animal Crossing ruined Sims for me. And Animal Crossing is ruined for me for a separate reason, but I haven't played Sims really since Animal Crossing came. So long story short, I got very, very behind on his VODs. Do you know what a VOD is?
I don't think so.
Okay, video on demand. So it's basically like they had their Twitch streams and then they saved the video so the people can that didn't catch the streams could watch it later.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay. I've seen them, but I didn't know that's what they were called.
You probably watch Puya's VODs.
Yes, all the time, but I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah, so I got behind on the VODs of this challenge. So I've been trying to catch up. At one point, I was like 26 streams behind.
Oh my goodness.
And they're like, they rate these streams last from like 3 hours to sometimes he goes up to 8 hours.
So, do you watch them on a higher speed?
No, not always. No, no.
Oh my goodness.
So, but I like watch them in pieces. So I finally am like 3 streams away from the ending and I've just been like trying to finish.
So, no, that's completely fair. That's like totally a fair thing to talk about.
I'm watching Sims videos and watching 8 hours.
What is the difference between watching that and watching like someone play Among Us? Like, honestly, it's like it's essentially the same thing in my mind.
I guess that's true.
But no, that is very exciting that you're almost done. Because I totally can like connect with that of like, oh my gosh, I'm like so many behind. Like for a while, I got very behind on My Favorite Murder. Mm-hmm. And I was just like binging to catch up.
Yeah, I think that once I finish this, I'll be able to like listen to more podcasts and like all that stuff, because it's kind of like the things that I do while I'm doing other stuff. You don't have to really pay attention to it.
Yes, 100%. I do the same thing, like put something on while I'm working type of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. Do we want to get into 90s nightcaps?
Yeah, so out of alcohol in this house, looked, there's none to be found. So I made myself a coffee. It's just like a French press coffee, and I'm trying this like Chobani hazelnut creamer. It's not that bad.
That sounds good. I love hazelnut. Yeah. I probably should have had a coffee because I'm pretty tired today, but I ended up just grabbing like a mini bottle of the Barefoot Bubbly. What the hell is this? Brut Cuvée? I sound like an idiot. I have no idea.
Brut B-R-U-T. Means the, you know what brut is? It's not sweet. It's
you know what? I didn't think this tasted sweet enough. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, brut is like dry. It's a dry champagne.
Ugh, no wonder I wasn't liking it as much. Anyway, it's a champagne. It's fine. It's like I said, it's not sweet enough for me, but I have a sweet tooth, so
yeah,
that's what I'm drinking today. Mm-hmm. But we are here to talk about the season 2 premiere of Boy Meets World, and like, bitch, everything has changed.
It's a whole new world. Yes.
So back to school
back to school, got a show. Whomever, not a fool. I mean, there are a bit of fools. There's a lot of fools.
Yes. There a lot of fools this episode.
A lot of fools. Air date, we're bringing it back for at least this episode. September 23rd, 1994. So we're still in 94.
Yes. And new intro. Goodbye, old intro. Never missed ya.
Yeah, but this is even worse.
I disagree.
Really?
Because... Well, the reason I disagree, and maybe I don't know if it changes and this is just the shorter version.
I saw this, I checked like 4 episodes throughout the season just to be like, oh, is this it or does it change?
I much prefer, this is a more modern thing now where shows don't have huge long intros. Like it's just basically, for those who don't remember, if you didn't rewatch, it's like an instrumental with like a teenage kid with sunglasses like leaning up against a globe and then it like rolls over him and squishes him.
Yeah.
And that's like it. And I loved it because I was like, short, snappy, to the point. We get
very,
it.
Very like metaphorical, you know, like,
oh yeah, the world crushes him.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not even an option to skip the intro.
That's what I'm saying. That's how quick it is. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're new intro here.
Yeah, I felt like a little uncomfy. I don't know. Maybe I missed season one. But then again, I never
But did
even...
you watch season one? No. You skipped it.
No, I skipped it.
Exactly. So how are you going to miss it? Come on.
I don't know.
We all know that we're waiting for the day when we get to, and it's Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
That's the most memorable. That's the most memorable.
That is the one we love. This is the one that we can like ding, marry, kill. We ding this one. I kill the first one.
I don't know.
We'll have to play that when we get there. Like, yeah, forever from now.
Yeah.
But first day of high school, you know, Alan and Amy are talking, and like Amy's worried that Corey's going to be nervous. Corey's like freaking pumped to go to high school.
He is popping off, jumping around, so excited. He's in a great mood. Best day ever. Horrible first day of school clothing. Like, this is your first day of junior high, and this is the shit that you decide to wear.
He loves the yellow.
It looks just like his old clothes.
It does. He didn't even try. Yeah, he's not grown up at all. I love Morgan's line of go back to camp, loser.
Yeah.
I was living for it.
I know. I mean, I wonder, like, what was it, a sleepaway camp? Was it a day camp? I'm sure he played tons of baseball in camp, had a great time. Maybe Sean even went to camp with him. I can visualize it.
And I'm gonna put my prediction out here right now and say that Morgan has more lines this season because she's a year older. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they'll give her more lines instead of screaming.
She got
everything.
Bangs. Morgan has bangs.
She's got bangs. Every 90s kid had bangs.
Oh yeah, so. I had bangs. I had bangs.
As did I. Mm-hmm. So Corey's not nervous. He knows his place. He's starting off as a zero. He like interviewed Eric on what this is going to be like. He says he needs to make friends with Harley Kiner. He will be his most trusted assistant. It's his plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible idea. I mean, I don't hate his prep work. He definitely did his homework, so to speak, as they discussed. And he has notes. And I mean, would I like go to the biggest kid on my first day of class? And we'll talk about his approach later. It's a little bold, but at least he has a plan. At least he's like, you know, has a good attitude about it. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric seemed to be like friendly enough to answer his questions. So that seems nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about how nice Eric is throughout this episode. Sean walks in and he has sideburns.
It's a look.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. Amy's like, you have glue on your face. And then this is when Eric comes in and hands Corey a piece of paper. He calls him an insignificant speck. Mm-hmm. And basically, he wants Corey to sign a paper saying he won't talk to him during school hours. He can't be associated with a seventh grader.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. So he is now a junior because we got over.
He was a sophomore.
He was a sophomore, as he liked to talk about all the time. So now he's a junior. I don't really know how having a younger brother like lowers your social capital, but.
It doesn't unless you're like convinced. Hanging out with him all the time. Like you can associate with him.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, Corey's that much of a dweebet. Like he doesn't have like I don't know. Maybe if Sean was Eric's younger brother, then he wouldn't be like, I don't have a younger brother, which is like kind of unfortunate. But
I think that's correct, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that he was super overreacting in this contract. I mean, Corey should have never signed it. Obviously, he didn't fully read the contract before signing.
I can't believe, too, that, like, the parents weren't meaner to Eric about this.
Because they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit.
No, they honestly don't. They're like, oh, you don't want to hang out with your brother? And then that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
I mean, so, because he was like, my social status means more to me than my brother. So, Mr. Feeney comes in and the boys are like, hey, do you like regret not having us as a student anymore? And it's like definitely not because Feeney's in the know. He knows his class roster. He knows what's going on.
I love this from Feeney, like the long con of like not telling them right away just to hit them where it hurts later.
Yep. Yes, yes. But once again, you totally, when you were in middle school and high school, you totally had your schedule with your teachers' names on it.
Well, here's the thing. You did, but did Corey and Sean read theirs ahead of time? No.
Oh my gosh. They probably did not. They probably didn't even do the summer reading.
And that's the funny thing is like, it's like, you know that Corey, the only thing Corey prepared for was like the social aspect of this in a high school and not like, oh, where are my actual classes? Because I remember, like, I guess pulling from my memories of going into high school. Now, keep in mind, I was in ninth grade, or that's how our high school was. I remember every time I went to a new school, so from elementary to middle and from middle to high, my biggest concern was knowing where my classrooms were. I was terrified because we had 3 minutes between bells. So I was always very nervous. Scary
back in the day?
Yes, that I was going to be late. Like, my biggest fear in life is like being fucking late. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it's honestly the truth. And I remember being terrified that I wouldn't have enough time to go to my locker, that I wouldn't know where my classes were. That was what I was concerned about. I didn't care about the social aspect, honestly, because I still had the same friends I'd had before. So I don't know what would have changed going into a different school, because you're still in the same grade with all the same friends. Right. But that was what I was concerned with. Obviously, that's not what Corey was concerned with.
No, no. And I think, like, I remember in sixth grade, we definitely had a junior high school orientation. I know we did, because actually, fun fact, I got my period the day of seventh grade orientation. So,
oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yeah, it's always on like a monumentous day. So we had it, and then that's when like you went inside and like scoped out all your like classes.
Oh, so you got to see them all.
So you got to see like where you had to go. But yeah, like Corey's like prepared for the social aspect. Definitely didn't look at his schedule. Definitely didn't read that Feeny was his teacher. So Feeny's complaining that Eric's large rusty car, he got a new car, good for Eric, really saved up that $5 a week from his paycheck or however much he got from the grocery store. He has a vintage Buick, which is actually like a pretty good car. So I don't know. I mean, I guess
it's not a Mustang.
Not a Mustang, but I mean, Buicks are expensive, I think. Or they are now anyway.
Yeah, I guess if it was like old enough, it wouldn't be too expensive. But so Feeny asks Eric to move it. And then Sean and Corey, they're like, oh, yes, high school means that we don't have to deal with Feeny. And they do their like dance that they did last season.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this isn't cool. We need to make it cooler. And they basically just do it like slower.
Yeah. I mean, they're not choreographers, so they don't have the mental capacity to make a whole new dance.
Mm-hmm. I love the like oohs and ahs they put. Ooh. Like.
Like, don't they have, like, little finger guns, too?
Yes. Yeah, they do finger guns.
Really cool. Really cool.
I thought it was cute.
It was cute, but not cool.
So now we're walking into high school. First things first, Corey and Sean, like, smash a door into, like, we can call them the nerds because I don't know what else we call them. I call them
mini minkuses.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Mini minkuses. Corey and Sean like smash the door into their faces. And then immediately they run into a kid whose like clothes got stolen by a senior, apparently. Yeah,
never happened. Another thing that they prepped us for going into junior high school was that, oh, don't be surprised if the kids are going to put your backpack inside out. Like, that's, like, a common thing that, like, upperclassmen do to prank.
I'm sorry, what? Upperclassmen.
Yeah.
That never happened. What kind of prank even is that?
It never happened, though. But that was something that we were warned about.
What a waste of time.
If you leave your backpack, they'll put it inside out.
That seems like the biggest waste of someone's time. Like, I'm going to spend my time turning someone's backpack inside out, and then what? I assume they'd pack your stuff back up in it or just leave your stuff out. What a waste of fucking time. What kind of idiot does a prank like that?
But I was so afraid of that. I was like, oh no, like,
can't leave my backpack anywhere. It's not like I can turn it right back side in. Nope, can't do that.
But I was very afraid of that back in junior high school. Never happened, though. I never saw somebody's backpack get turned inside out.
What an idiotic prank. Listeners, please tell us if you've ever heard of this, because this is ridiculous. This is more ridiculous than the retainer plastic thing.
I don't think that Jessica, like,
that's true. It's not more ridiculous than that.
Thank you. I just want you to be realistic with yourself, to be honest. No,
that's okay. I'm ashamed, but it's fine.
So, yeah, this poor boy's clothes got stolen just because he's a new guy. And Corey's like, but I'm a new guy.
Yeah, and this is when one of my favorite side characters comes up, picks up Corey, this big guy, picks up Corey, says, you were almost in my way, which I just love as like, he wasn't even in his way, he was almost
so in his way. I thought that as we go, we can talk about Frankie, just the actor, Frankie. The character is called Frankie Stacchino, sorry, not Italian, played by Ethan Suplee. He's been in a ton of things, ranging from like Santa Clarita Diet recently. He was in Good Girls.
And remind me, I'm pretty sure he lost like a ton of weight.
He lost more than 200 pounds. And it was kind of sweet because he said that he thanks his wife for losing weight because, like, you know, being with her was his inspiration to lose the weight. I think he's married to Juliette Lewis's sister.
Oh, that's interesting.
Something. He's related somehow to Juliette Lewis. So, yeah, lost a ton of weight. Very buff now. He was also in Clerks 1 and 2 back in the day. So, yeah.
I love those movies.
Yeah. So, he was in a ton of stuff. We'll see Frankie a lot throughout the next seasons. Up until, I think, season 5 when they graduate, so
it's a while. As soon as I saw him prominent, I was like, oh my god, Frankie Stacchino. Like, he's, you'll see, obviously, if this isn't a rewatch for you, he's really like a softy, and he's like, he has a gentle heart. He's like, I believe he's like a poet, I believe he writes poetry. So he picks up Corey. And then remind me what the sidekick character's name
is. So this is Joey the Rat Epstein.
That's right. And I hate Joey. Joey sucks.
Joey sucks. So this is played by Blake Soper, or he also goes by Blake Swendon. He was in Salute Your Shorts, Third Rock from the Sun. He's now in an indie rock band, and he focuses a lot on music. I think his band is called, well, originally it was Rilo Kiley, and then he switched his band name a few times. So he's into music. So yeah, Joey the Rat. Is the sidekick of, I don't know, it's like, is Frankie the sidekick of Harvey and is Joey the sidekick of Frankie? It's like, is this like a trickle effect? Is this like a hierarchy? Are they,
they're on the same level. I think Joey and Frankie are on the same level, and it's like almost like a Timon and Pumbaa situation. Like, you have the teeny tiny guy and like the really big, like, intimidating looking guy, even though he's not, he's like I said, like a softy at heart. Joey is like a pest who is annoying. He's like a hyena.
He's a yapper.
And this is where, again, this is in the 90s, and this is not something that would fly, that would be said on TV today. But he says, like, he says something to Frankie, and then Frankie turns around and says, are you calling me gay? I need to be alone with my thoughts. As if, like, being gay is a negative thing, and it happens twice this episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's, once again, like, let's, like, go into the world of, like, maybe he is gay or bisexual, and, like, maybe when Joey says that, maybe that he really does have to be alone with his thoughts. You know, I don't really know. I remember, like, there's an episode where Frankie is trying to get a date, and I'm assuming that they were probably looking for a woman for Frankie, but, you know, maybe
I don't remember.
Really does need to think about this. But yeah, so at this point, Corey's up against the lockers. He gets slammed up against the lockers. Sean's putting himself in the locker. Huge lockers. We talked about that last season, how the lockers are so big and they continue to be big.
Yeah, this set looks very similar to the, I mean, they did make some alterations, but it is very similar to middle school. It definitely is, but they've added like a little bit more to it. And this is like a pretty iconic set. We see this set all the time. And I think eventually the boys' bathroom becomes Feeny's principal's office, like, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, so Sean puts himself in a locker. And he's like, oh, I think I'll stay in here. And of course, like, a pretty girl walks by and he's like, oh, but the view's better, like, out here. Mm-hmm. And so Sean eventually comes out of the locker, and walks to Topanga. Big moment here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, Topanga, I mean, she is bouncing. She's like, hey, guys, like, what's going on? The boys are so happy to see her because they're kind of having, like, a rough morning already. They're, like, you know, afraid, like, if, like, Harvey is supposed to be the meanest kid in school, then, like, who the heck were these guys? They miss her. Then they're, like, staring at her because, quote, unquote, the summer was very good to her. I mean,
yeah, obviously she's going through puberty. So the boys are staring at her. She has a new, I think he calls it a blouse. Does he call it a blouse?
Yeah, he calls it, but it wasn't a blouse, Sean. You don't know what a blouse is.
It wasn't.
No,
not a blouse. And she rips off Sean's sideburns and says, well, at least what I have is real, which I was like, yes, girl.
I love that. That was, like, hilarious. Mm-hmm. Good for you. the bell rings. And she's like, oh, I checked the list and we're all together. She was giving me such, like, Hermione vibes in this yes. episode, right?
Except if I'm her, I'm, like, ditching these idiots because I don't want to be late for homeroom. Like, she waits around for them. But yeah, she's like, oh, we have Mr. Turner. And of course, in walks mm-hmm. Mr. Turner, but mm-hmm. Corey's a fucking idiot. And is like, yes, absolutely, this 30-year-old is Harley Kiner. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because he's a lifer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lifer. He's just like Jordan Catalano, Harvey Kiner.
Yes, yes, definitely. An idiot that's been in school forever. And we have Mr. Turner walking in. He has like a motorcycle helmet. He's wearing like leather, yep. real cool looking, giving Uncle Jesse vibes for
hot,
sure.
Hot, hot, hot. Mm-hmm. Love him. Love him.
Yes. Oh, same. Big same.
Yeah. So Corey introduces himself. He says that he wants to be his friend. He'll hold his coat. He'll stand in the lunch line for him. He'll even do detention for him, which I don't know how that would work.
But it does not work, Corey.
Obviously,
is a suck up.
Yeah. All of the teachers know who Harvey is. It kind of Harvey Kiner? No.
Kiner.
Mm-hmm. I'm combining the Epstein and the Kiner. Oh, God. Kiner. Yeah. Yeah, all of the teachers know who Harvey Kiner is, so that's never going to work. And then he's like, oh, what is
– he says he just wants them to do the homework.
Yes, yeah. And he's like, oh, like all my students – I want all my students to do my homework. And then Corey's like, you're so mean. They gave you students. Fucking dummy.
Like, Corey, dumb. Pick up on the cues, Corey. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Corey's not, like, doing so hot. He's struggling. And then Mr. Turner's like, I am a teacher. My name is Jonathan Turner. You can call me Mr. What a ballin' statement. And then the bell rings, and then he's like, you're late.
I love this running gag throughout this episode.
Yeah,
lots of lateness. It was very funny.
Very tardy.
Yes, and Mr. Turner is very, like, again, if he didn't have, like, a mini mullet, he would be even more attractive. But he is obviously the teacher that every person in high school had a crush on.
Yeah.
Like, he is that teacher. Like, we had one of those teachers, too, where it was, like, everybody thought he was cute.
Yes.
Everybody wanted to, like, spend study hall in his class because he just wanted to look at him.
I mean, I'm still attracted to him. I don't mind his hair.
I mind his hair. But other than that, I find him pretty attractive. I mean, I don't really go for, like, guys who ride motorcycles.
Yeah.
But he's just, like, good looking in general.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think in some of my reading, I read that they wanted somebody, like, cool and hip, like an Uncle Jesse character. Mm-hmm. So that's where Mr. Turner came in. His name is Anthony Tyler Quinn. I have him down as our new Zaddy. Alan yes. Matthews, who never never knew him before.
Okay, joking. But Alan's haircut was very good.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
He looked fresh. He had fresh cut, and we have to acknowledge that.
He does look fresh. I'm sorry.
How dare you? Know our roots, Sarah.
Okay, sorry. Anthony Tyler Quinn was in one episode of Pretty Little Liars, which apparently was important enough for me to put in my notes.
What season? Do you know?
His name, I think, was like Ron. In
Did you recognize him when you watched it, or no? Do you know?
No, IMDb told me.
Okay, well, I don't know if like once you saw that, you were like, oh, that's right, he was so and so.
No, okay. I don't remember.
I feel like he'd still be pretty recognizable.
I think you're right with that one. I think you're correct. Let's see. I'll tell you. You know what?
Yes.
Because I am a good studier.
Look at you go.
His name was Ron, a hot piece of A in 2012. That is season 2, episode 15.
I definitely was still watching at that point. I wonder if
all of it. I watched every single Pretty Little Liars.
Please, I gave up on that trash. Oh my goodness.
I don't know who Ron is. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. One episode. He was in Days. He definitely made a reappearance in Girl Meets World. He,
of course.
They refer to him as Uncle John. So apparently he had some sort of significance in the kids' lives. I love how
everybody gets the fucking title like aunt and uncle no matter what. It's like, oh, you're a family friend. You're now aunt, uncle.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that what I read was that he like is in superintendent of like the New York City school system. So hired Corey as the teacher in the school. So
I have a question.
Okay, yeah.
Mr. Turner. Okay, because we have Mr. Turner and we have Harley Kiner, that I'll also mention this with Harley.
Yeah.
Does Mr. Turner have a Philadelphia accent, or does he have like a New York City accent?
So Anthony Tyler Quinn is from Connecticut. So I would say he probably has a New York accent, closer to New York.
I did not remember his accent being so heavy in the show. And so when he comes in, I'm like, holy shit, is that like, it did sound very downstate-y to me. Now, it could be completely be like Pittsburgh, whatever, Philadelphia, whatever.
What do you think that he put on an accent for this?
I think, okay, my guess would be like, because he's a new teacher, so he could be from the city who, like, just moved to PA, and that's what I think they were kind of going for. Hotshot teacher from New York.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm the new teacher. I'm really cool.
Bada bing, bada boom. I'm your teacher.
I'm your teacher.
We're bringing it back. I do think that, like, he's supposed to be, like, hotshot teacher from New York or something.
I'm hotshot teacher from New York.
Bada bing, bada boom, and then we read the Odyssey.
Okay, so yeah, so they're late, but then they go to homeroom. Love homeroom. Homeroom is like a classic time.
Well, then they're, and he's also their English teacher, and it looks like they're in English class because he like, oh, you trouble Matthews. No, that'd be Sean. And of course, he's like, oh, well, Sean wouldn't be looking at me right now. I loved this move from Mr. Turner. Like, he is like, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like an Alan, where he was also the bad boy in high school.
Oh, my God. He was totally the bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think at first it's homeroom and then it transitions to English. I don't really know how it works, but he's like, yeah, I'm here for homeroom, here for English, here for whenever you want to talk to me, but don't talk to me now. Then he brings up the Odyssey, bada bing, bada boom. So they are assigned the Odyssey and they're talking about the book. Topanga tries to answer questions like the good Hermione that she is.
Yes, we love
that. And then
that.
Turner sees that they're reading the X-Men.
And so he draws like a correlation between the Odyssey and X-Men. And so he assigns both. And so Corey is like, well, first he assigns X-Men and Corey's like, oh, my gosh, she's so cool. And then he's like, oh, no, you're reading the Odyssey, too. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's another Feeny, which like Turner is not Feeny.
No, definitely not. And I love this assignment. I think it's great. Like, you know what? Get your kids interested in something and then tie it in with an assignment.
Absolutely. I love the move.
Yeah. I think that was a great first assignment.
Yes. And then after this class is when, like, Sean and Corey have different classes and they get separated. And I'm like, were you not expecting this to happen? Like, you're in high school. Like, you're not going to have every class together. Like,
I know, but it is so sad because then they get separated by the crowd and they're like, yeah. Corey, Sean. So sad. I felt, like, very, very sad. So, yeah. Corey sees Eric. He, like, runs to him. He's like, Eric, I'm having the worst day ever. Eric is like, I don't know you. Go away.
Mm-hmm. Which is so rude, but we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. And then Corey sees Harley, Frankie, and Joey in the corner in front of the boys' bathroom where they hang.
Mm-hmm. And this is when Harley says, this year I might even take the SOTs.
SOTs, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that Harley also has, like, a New York accent. Yeah. Like, that's what I heard when he talked.
They transfer.
Very, like, Italian-American New York City.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to be, this is definitely, like, a Fonzie wannabe character.
100%.
Yeah.
And so Corey approaches him and asks, he says, oh, if you make friends with a seventh grader, people will like you even more, which, like, I don't think that Harley cares if people like him. I think he wants people to fear him.
Exactly, so. Corey. Bad move. So Harley Kiner, played by Danny McNulty, he mostly was just in Boy Meets World. He is also in Girl Meets World. And he is a janitor in Girl Meets World, I guess, playing off of the janitor Bill thing, which we'll get to eventually.
Right.
He's also in a show called John the Thief, where he was John the Thief. So, So we'll see Harvey a lot also.
Harley,
whatever. Harvey was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, it's her boyfriend.
Yeah, different. Not different the same guy. At all. Different guy.
Yeah, and this is when Harley names Corey Johnny Baboon.
Yeah, so he says that Corey Matthews is too much of a floofy name. I'm going to name you Johnny Baboon, you know?
Which, like, is that better than Corey Matthews?
No, it's not. It's not. So Baboon, downgrade of a name, but maybe less floofy, whatever that means.
And that's when Marion Stimpleton comes into the picture.
Who the heck is Marion Stimpleton?
I don't know, but he is, like, so obnoxious and annoying.
Very annoying, yeah.
They're late, they're in the hallway, and he, like, gets annoyed with Corey because for whatever reason, I don't know. It was a really weird situation, and so he brings both of them into the principal's office. And, oh, yes, you did say that Harley, I cracked up when Harley's like, Marion.
But it, like, that antagonizes him. I don't know why, but
I think he's Marion just insecure like about it. His name being Marion.
Yeah.
And so he brings Corey into the principal's office, and Corey, of course, turns around and he goes into the principal's office, and who's there? Feeny,
the legend continues. what a good line. So Corey is shook. He's so beside himself. He's like, I can't believe this. He's like, Feeny, like, you know, you're just the acting principal. That must mean that you don't have, like, full authority to punish me. And, like, Feeny's like, yes, I do, fool. So Feeny asks Marion what he did. He did nothing. I mean, he said that he got on his nerves. And, like, the issue is that he was hanging out in the hallway.
Right, he was late for class. He had no hall pass.
Yeah, he said that's the issue. But Corey just got a warning. He got off easy.
Feeny says, get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Which I loved.
And then Corey looks at his schedule finally and realizes that his American history teacher is Mr. Feeny. So it's Mr. Feeny. Of course it is.
Yep. Bell rings. Another, you're late.
Yeah.
And we find out Feeny is acting principal right now. Principal. Yeah. So he's only like, it's like a temporary situation.
We'll see about that. Yeah.
But of course, Harley got detention. And so he's pissed at Corey. Yeah. Like, it's Corey's fault for some reason.
It is. Well, I mean, it is. He was hanging out.
Harley would have been in the hallway anyway.
That's true. Why does he get a full week of detention on the first day of class? It doesn't seem very fair.
No, but I just assume he's a repeat offender, and so he's going to get,
on the first day of school, your slate doesn't wipe clean?
I guess so. But he's pissed, and he says, oh, you're going to meet me in the bathroom at 3 p.m. I'm going to kill you.
Enjoy lunch. How daunting.
Yes.
Not good. This is not turning out to be a very good day for Corey, is it?
No, but honestly, like, he's an idiot for 90% of this episode.
So it's Corey's fault. He could have prevented most of this. Yeah.
I think if you just don't even talk to Harley. Why are you even talking to him?
I don't know, because he thinks that this is going to be a good idea for him to be a cool kid. I would just stay away if I was him.
Exactly. I mean,
he should have just got to class on time.
Yeah.
He should have just checked his schedule. Like, a lot of this could have been just prevented.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And this scene coming up. So we have Mr. Turner is eating lunch in the cafeteria. Or maybe it's the... No, I think they do eat lunch with the students. Yeah. They should have a faculty lunch room, but that's fine. And Feeny approaches Turner and, like, says, oh, like, I found out that you're signing X-Men comics for class. And he calls him Groovy.
Groovy.
And
this is a classic...
being very pompous.
Very, yeah. This is a classic new school versus old school teachings, isn't it? Yes. He does not like this approach. He thinks that they should be reading less X-Men, not more. And he leaves it off saying that this shall be an interesting school year. Like, why do you have to be such a creep, Feeny? Just, like, let Mr. Turner do his thing. Why is this an issue? They're still going to read the Odyssey.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I think Feeny should let Mr. Turner approach things his own way and see what the results are before, like, jumping to conclusions already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mr. Turner's like, do you really think I'm groovy? And I'm just like, oh, my goodness gracious. It's not the point, Mr. Turner, but that's okay.
I know. Can you, like, if you think about it, this is probably only, like, 15 years from when Groovy was actually a thing.
Yeah, like, groovy is not a compliment in the 90s.
I think that it was just Mr. Feeny being out of touch.
I mean, why is it Mr. Turner realizing, like, that it's
I think that he was being sarcastic. He was like, oh, you really think I'm groovy?
I thought he actually
I think that he was just being like, oh, you think I'm groovy. Yeah, I think a compliment now would be like rad. When was tubular?
Totally
a thing?
Tubular. Yeah, that's what I was that just a gonna thing? Say. I don't know. It's like a surfer 90s? Thing, though.
Yeah. But so once again, like, Corey and Sean knocked down the mini Minkuses. Mini Minkuses are having as bad as a day as Corey is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they're having a rough time.
So, Sean's basically saying, like, you don't have to be a chicken. Like, go talk to your brother. That's why you have a brother. Get some help. Corey's like, I can't because I signed a contract. So Sean, the good buddy that he is, comes to talk to Eric.
Yes. And the girl, like, at the table thinks, like, Sean is cute. And Eric's like, I don't know you. And then so finally Eric gets up, goes over to the water fountain where Corey is and, like, pretends to get a drink of water while he's talking to Corey. And Eric basically tells Corey, like, go to the nurse, be sent home early and kind of, like, you know, miss the whole thing. And Corey's like, I'm going to be known as a coward. And he's like, well, better than being dead. So,
yeah. So, you know, and then I think that this is a, I mean, how do you feel like this advice from Eric is?
I think this is crappy advice. I just think, like, first of all, it's not really going to solve any issues because the next day Harley's going to see you and be like, where the fuck were you at 3 p.m.? Like, I'm going to kick your dick. Like,
kick
that's
your
a
dick.
Weird thing to do.
Okay.
That just came to my mind. Anyway. Yeah.
that's what he's going to say. And yeah. so, like, it's not fixing the issue at hand. Yeah. Like, yeah. if he's going to do that, he might as well just go home and not go into the boys' bathroom at the end of the school day.
Yeah, because 3 o'clock is the end of the school day. So it's
right. right? So what does it matter?
What does it matter? You just go home. You don't have to call your parents to pick you up. Bad advice. Right. Bad advice. Corey decides that his best move is just to go to the nurse's house. There he finds many Minkuses there. They're sharing what their fake ailments are. Corey says he has a fluttering pelvis. Okay.
That was uncomfy.
It was very uncomfy.
Yeah, Corey doesn't want to be a coward after hearing what the mini Minkuses have to say. So he, like, gets up and he leaves. Mm-hmm. And he's in the hallway when he runs into, like, Mr. Turner. He talks to Mr. Turner about dying. Like, Mr. Turner assigns the book The Odyssey and then immediately spoils it for Corey. And I'm like, what are you doing?
But does he really care about spoilers?
I mean, I would care about spoilers if I have to read a book. Don't tell me what the ending is.
No, Corey needs to know. He needs to know if the dude, Odysseus, gets home alive or if he's doomed. Mm-hmm. Sean comes there, says that he's there to support Corey. Corey's like, oh, I have to face this alone. But Sean doesn't really put up too much fight because that cute blonde girl comes and now, like, they're, like, going off to the lockers, as we'll see later.
Great first day of school for Sean, by the way.
He's having a phenomenal first day of school. No worries at all. Because you know why? Because Sean is, like, keeping his head down, not going after the scary seniors. Yes. And is kind of just staying in his own lane. And he's meeting, you know, potential girls, you know?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yep. And then this is when Harley comes out of the bathroom. Corey says, you know, I'd rather be dead than be the school coward for 6 years. And then surprisingly, Eric comes to the rescue, jumps in between them, defends Corey. I love how stupid Corey is because then he insults Harley because he's like, this is my brother or whatever. He's like, how stupid are you? And Eric's like, shut up.
Shut up.
Like,
I do want to say that I think that Corey was doing a really good job at first defending himself, like saying that because Harvey's like, aren't you going to run and hide and scream? And he's like, no, like, I'm going to face this. I'm not going to be a coward. I'd rather be dead than the school coward for the next 6 years. Like, I like how Corey was handling it on his own. And I think that if Eric didn't come in, I do think Harley would have, like, listened to him and respected Corey for not being, like, a little baby. You know,
at the very least, I think it's smart that Corey stays in the hallway because if he gets hit in the hallway, it's more likely someone would see it happening.
I think that the worst that would have happened was, like, Harley would have, like, grabbed his shirt, like, lifted him up a little and be like, don't, like, bother me again, and then, like, put him down. But I think, like, Harley would have respected that Corey stood his ground.
I think regardless, it doesn't really matter because, like, it turns out Mr. Turner kind of sensed something was up, and he's, like, hanging around afterwards. So even when Harley, like, lunges at the Matthews brothers, like, he's there to break it up. Corey, like, thanks Eric for being his brother, and Sean, of course, is in the locker with the girl. Huge lockers, in
big
high school.
Lockers, biggest lockers that ever lived. I think that I'm really happy that Eric was there for his brother. I think that this is one of, like, you know, our first showings that Eric is not totally self-centered all the time. Right.
This is, like, and I do like this new Eric. Like, I think it softens him a bit, and I think we talked last season about our issues with, like, him being really mean to Corey, like, consistently for no reason.
Yeah.
And so I think this definitely softens the character a bit in a really, really good way.
Yeah. So cut to the after or during the credits scene, Corey comes home with Eric. He's, like, hyping up Eric, giving him props, saying, like, my big brother's the best. Eric says that, he, like, hates Harley because he was going after Corey for being bigger. But then, like, he just, like, hits Corey himself. You know, it's, like, one of those things that's, like,
you know, nobody could make fun of my brother, beat up my brother except me type of thing. Like, only I get to do that. Then the whole family gets into this little, like, tiff. They all fight. Morgan, who's the queen of the house, yells at everybody saying, I'm watching TV. That everybody shuts up. And then she's like, that's power.
Yeah, we see who the real power wielder is in this household.
Real queen, Queen Morgan. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of feedback before we get into fashion hour. Unless you want to do fashion hour first.
I know, let's do feedback first.
Okay. So this is an email from KX. They say, this is my first watch of Boy Meets World, so I need a little bit of help with this. How good is Corey's relationship supposed to be with his brother Eric? I still can't pin it down after an entire season.
I think it's kind of a typical older brother, younger brother relationship. I mean, we've talked about this. They have about, what, a 4-year age difference. So I think they're bound to, like, get into these situations where Eric is, like, too cool for school. He's too cool to hang out with his younger brother. Mm-hmm. And this is the first... one of the first times we've really seen where he's, like, actively come to Corey's defense.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those situations where even though they don't get along always and they have different interests, right? Corey isn't really into, like, girls yet. Eric's really into, like, dating at this point. Mm-hmm. But, like, Eric is still going to be there for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that... first season, Corey and Eric, not a great relationship. I don't really think that – I think, like a typical sibling relationship, there's periods of time where you just can't stand your sibling. You don't get along with them. You have nothing in common. You're fighting. And I think – or, you know, you're, like, literally nothings to each other. Yeah. And I think that they were kind of like nothings to each other at the best last season. They didn't have a good relationship. We see Corey trying at times with Morgan. We see kind of like a stronger bond between Eric and Morgan forming. Because I mean, how can you not bond with like your 6-year-old little nugget of sister, you know?
Yeah.
Eric's much older than Morgan in the first season. I'm all seasons, I guess. But I don't think it's a very good relationship. However, I think that we'll hopefully see them, Corey and Eric, form a stronger bond. I know later on in the seasons, it's kind of rough again where like Corey just kind of thinks Eric's a dummy and like that's all he's good for.
Yeah.
So they're not, I don't think they're ever meant to be best friends, but I think we'll see like true siblings, a wave of good and a wave of bad.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Another question from Miranda Creates 245. What are your hopes for season 2 of Boy Meets World?
I think I want to see more of Sean's family dynamic. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of Topanga, obviously.
Yes.
And I'd like to see Morgan have smarter lines that she's not just screaming. Those are my three hopes and dreams.
Yeah. I agree with all of those. I'll add, I want to see Eric develop into more of the Eric that is like lovable Eric that people really like watching. Mr. Turner is a great character. I love Mr. Turner for many reasons, one of which is his relationship with Sean, because we'll get to see more into Sean's family dynamic. I think we're probably going to meet Sean's dad pretty soon.
Iconic actor as well that plays
his dad. Absolutely. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. Corey, I mean, obviously we're going to get a touch more of Corey and Topanga this season. So of course, looking forward to that. I hope we get to see more of Amy. Like, I don't know if she takes more of, like, a back step this season. You know, as much as, like, I've seen this show before and I love this show, it's the main characters. It's, like, the Sean, the Corey, the Topanga storylines that I remember the most. I don't really remember where the show goes with Alan and Amy. Mm-hmm. Aside from, eventually, there's additional child, which will... whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was just some of the feedback. I mean, aside from that, we had a lot of excitement over our podcast with Chappelle for our season 1, episode 22, last podcast of the season podcast. Last episode of the last episode of the season podcast, something like that, right?
The finale.
Finale. There we go. Finale. The finale. We had so much positive feedback around that. So, Chappelle, if you're listening, thank you so much. You are a light in our lives.
We love Chappelle.
Love Chappelle. So, fashion hour?
Yes, let's get to the fashion hour.
Fashion hour. Okay, so if you are just joining us for season 2 and you did not get to listen in with us for season 1, we do what we call Fashion Hour, which is divided into 2 awards, the first being the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfits, and they're, as it states, the most 90s looking outfit, and the second being the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award, and those are outfits that are timeless that we can totally see in today's world. So my first nomination for the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit is Miss Topanga in her back to school I got boobs for the first time outfit. And they really like accentuated her.
It really does
chest,
accentuate
which is,
the
like,
boobs.
Really bizarre. So she's wearing this like little brown floral dress that is like short sleeves, and it's a very deep V that goes under her chest, and it's like kind of a longish dress. Then underneath is a white t-shirt. So like this dress is like meant to be worn with like a white tee. So
it has to be, otherwise you're showing the tatas.
You're showing, yeah. So it's meant to be worn with a t-shirt, or like a long sleeve t-shirt. So a white t-shirt underneath. Her chest is definitely being accentuated, which is like, I don't know. Her hair, I like showed you, my third picture is a picture of her hair. So it's like long and straight, which is different. But at the end, she has curls. So
yeah, lots of layers as well.
Lots of
and
layers.
Still the wispy bang.
Well,
the
got some bangs, but yeah. Very voluminous. She has a fire tan. This girl was hanging out in Malibu Beach all summer. Her backpack is a purple backpack. She's wearing a gold bracelet. What do you think about this look?
I mean, it's a weird dress. Like, I don't know how I feel about, like, let's show off this seventh grader's boobs. Like, that is kind of a weird move, to be
honest. It's a weird flex. I don't know what the kids say.
It's kind of an awkward dress, but I love the hair. I mean, like, I don't think Topanga can really go wrong for me with her hair. I love the really super, super curly, voluminous hair we had season 1, but I also really like layers and, like, a little bit of a curl. I honestly think this haircut, beyond not like take out the bangs part, this hairstyle is much more modern than,
right?
than her hairstyle last season.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I think overall I like it.
Yeah, I love her hair color too. It's like
it's like a golden brown.
A golden brown with like natural blonde highlights. It's so beautiful. So pretty. Maybe if I wasn't blonde, maybe this would be the hair color I would go to. But I don't have the tan, so I don't think I can pull it off. Like, she looks like, I don't know, like a beach babe.
Oh, roasted peanut.
Yeah. Next up, I have Sean's first day back to school outfit. Of course, we cannot talk about this outfit without his sideburns, his glued on sideburns. They are thick. They are prominent. He has like this little like mushroom like haircut. Like, this is not, I don't know about this haircut.
It's a little bit shorter than last season in the front.
Yeah. I think it needs to get grown out, but he is wearing a red shirt. Over that, he's wearing a short sleeve like button down plaid shirt. Over that, he's wearing a vest, like a greenish vest. Then he's wearing like green matching greenish cargo pants. He's has a new necklace. No more pukas. Now he has like this like long beaded necklace, and he's wearing like a beaded bracelet. So he's like definitely, you know how in camp you definitely you got beads. Like he had like a camp girlfriend who made him like all this like beaded jewelry. I think they call it candy.
Yeah.
And then he looks, and then once he takes out his sideburns, I mean, he looks kind of cute, I guess. He's like cheesing hard in the scene where he meets the girl at lunch.
Yeah.
I liked that picture. But how do you feel about Sean's first day back to school outfit?
I love the fake sideburns. I think it's hilarious that he equates having sideburns with like being a teenager, like being more adult, these giant sideburns.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this necklace and bracelet are better than a puka necklace, but like still not great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the pants, the pockets are very, very large. I'm all for like the utility of a big pocket.
Yeah. Well, you can fit his school books in there, no?
Apparently. But he didn't get enough of those pockets because his vest has to have pockets too.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Like this is so common to have like a quote unquote short sleeve shirt that is like down to past your elbow in the 90s. Like it's a bit insane.
It's like a three-quarter shirt, but it doesn't taper.
It really is. It's a shirt, it's an outfit, it's fine. Yeah. I love the eyebrow the sideburns the most.
Yeah. Last up for our Rachel Green Award for the most timeless outfit, I have Jonathan Turner.
No, most 90s. You said the most timeless. You said Rachel Green Award for the most timeless outfit.
Oh, geez. Okay. Up next, we have the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. Is Jonathan Turner with his first day back to school outfit. Hot, hot, hot. So he comes in with some aviators. He has a leather motorcycle jacket with patches on it. Under, he also has his motorcycle helmet, which is like a black helmet with like a little bit of like a visor action going on. I think he has a messenger bag. He's wearing a chambray denim shirt, creamy white cargos. When he takes off his jacket, he puts on a like corduroy khaki jacket. His hair, as we talked about, very 90s, very poofy, long. It goes to like under, like over his shoulders.
It's really curly. Like Uncle Jesse season one, but curly.
Yeah. So this is a look. I mean, I'm into it. Like his aviator glasses look like as he's walking past, like in full coolness. Like I'm into it. But it's, I don't think that he can step out and do his I don't think he could step out in the 2000s without people being like, what's going on with you, sir?
Yeah. So, Alan, I love you. You're still the original OG zaddy of Boy Meets World.
Yeah, yes.
But my gosh, Mr. Yeah. Turner in the first outfit with like the jacket and stuff is killing it with the aviators. Oof, perfect.
I know.
Now, like, I could do without the corduroy jacket, if we're being honest, because it's a corduroy jacket, buddy.
He has to be profesh in school.
It's like he's being like casual profesh.
Casual but profesh, like, yeah.
I also like hate the paisley tie. I hate the paisley
tie. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love how he transitions into like cool boy to like studious boy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, the first one is Jonathan Turner, biker, and part two is like Mr. Turner, teacher, you know, especially because he's like, oh, I'll wear a button down, but I'll make it denim. Like, that's how he gets away with it.
I know.
It.
Feeny's wearing like a full freaking suit, but like,
of course he is.
Mr. JT is like, I'm just a cool boy.
Yeah. So for me, this is pretty easy to give away the Rachel Green Award this episode. It has to go to Mr. Turner. He makes an entrance that you can't forget. The aviator is just like, it's peak for me. So zaddy to Mr. Turner.
Yep. Yep. I agree. So next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timeless Award. And this is, once again, given out to the most timeless outfit. Now, I got to be honest with you. These outfits were dated in this episode. So, yes. Give me some leeway. So, first up, we have Harley Kiner. I was about to call him Harvey again. I think the issue is
a struggle for a minute.
You know what it is? I put Harvey in my notes multiple times.
Oh, well, that's going to mess
I was
you
switching
up for
back
sure.
and forth. Yeah. Harley Kiner. He is wearing a white t-shirt. Over that, he is wearing a bowling shirt. This is a bowling shirt. So it's like mm-hmm. a button-down long sleeve shirt with one stripe and black pants. Now, the reason why it's timeless is because men or boys that do not know how to dress themselves well will often wear bowling shirts and be like, yeah, like I'm totally dressed up because I'm not wearing a t-shirt. But like what I'm doing is wearing a freaking bowling shirt. Zero style. Don't wear bowling shirts. But it happens. We see it. We see it all the time. But his hair is like slick back. Like I said, he kind of looks like the Fonz. Mm-hmm. He's trying to be like a tough guy. Tough guy.
Yeah, I think it's like a slick look, you know, like we yeah. know who this guy is the minute we watch him walk in with this like slick. The hair is the indicator mm-hmm. like this guy's evil.
Yeah.
It's usually always like the slicked back hair is the
yeah.
evil guy.
I think that just take off the bowling shirt and just wear the white shirt and then
with the black pants.
With the black pants.
I agree.
And like fire and you probably look more like. You're going to beat me up anyway. Yeah.
And he's also like, I'm super cash and can't button up all the buttons. I'm only going to button up half.
Yeah. Literally yeah. only buttons up like probably the middle button and just like lets everything else hang. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Like you said, take out the bowling shirt and it's a boot.
Yeah.
Or a toot. Wait, which one's a good one? A toot?
A toot is good.
Okay. Then take off the bowling shirt and it's a toot.
Toot, toot. Next up, we have Pretty Blonde Girl. So Pretty Blonde Girl who hooked up with like Sean in the lockers. Mm-hmm. She has like flowing curly hair that but there's no bangs. So it's like definitely modernized. There's this girl in The Bachelor this season called MJ and she has similar hair to this. So she's wearing, I think, like a white shirt tucked into a rose skirt. It's white mm-hmm. with like roses on it. She's wearing like a red leather jacket. Like she looks like this would be what you would wear on Valentine's Day. Like this would be such a cute look on Valentine's Day. And it's like the first day of school and she's like kind of like seems like the best dressed at school. Like if I saw this girl at school, I'd be like, bitch, she's pretty cool. One issue is that she's wearing red cowboy boots.
I was going to say, are we ignoring what's happening below her knees?
No, because... no, she's definitely wearing red cowboy boots, but at least she's matching. I do think if I saw this girl walking on the streets, I'd be like, oh, like she's kind of a cool girl. Like, I think it's cool enough to be like, oh, like she's kind of cute.
Yeah, the boots remind me of like How I Met Your Mother. There's like a whole story with like red cowboy boots.
I remember.
So that part I hate, but I agree. Like above the knee, it's very cute. I think if we were to see this now, the jacket would certainly be cropped, right?
Yeah.
It would be like mm-hmm. cropped
a little
and
big.
Tighter.
Yeah.
It's a bit, but I kind of like the loose fitting look. Like it'll mm-hmm. come back for sure.
Oh,
obviously
yeah.
the hair is gorgeous, so you got to give her credit. And I did notice her. Like in the episode, I remember my eye being drawn to her because of her outfit every scene she was in. So
yeah, me too. Yep. Me too. Last up for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award is Little Baby Morgan in the first scene. I just think that she looks like such a little fashionista. She's wearing like this red hat. Her hair is really cute. So she now has a bang and it's in a low pony and they curled like the front pieces. So
yes.
her hair looks like very stylish. She's wearing this like little dress with like it's short sleeves, there's floral, there's denim, and then she's wearing like some knee-high rainbow socks. Like this girl's like ready to go to a rave. Like she's going to a rave, she's going to go to Burning Man. Like she's like ready to like bop around and party. All she needs is some party ecstasy drugs and
jeez Louise.
No, I'm joking. Poor little Morgan. Don't
not
mean it.
A mom.
But not a mom. But like look at those rainbow socks. Like she's making a statement.
this is, I think she definitely dressed herself again because, like, the mix and match patterns are a lot. I think, like, this is tough because
the floral. Let Morgan live.
Hashtag let Morgan live. The floral dress, like, with the little, like, is that denim that's, like, frilling along the bottom? I can't tell, but, like, it gives me 90s vibes. The hat. Mm-hmm. Also would be like something Mary-Kate and Ashley would wear in like one of their videos, I think. But I love the hair. I think the hair is very cute. And I think like if you put those legging stockings, whatever, tights with like something else, like I totally could see that being like, you know what I mean? Like match like a black dress or something more basic with those tights. And that would be like a very cute look.
Yeah.
It's a lot for the eyes.
It is. I also did have Frankie's outfit, but I thought it was like a little basic. He's just like wearing an all black outfit, but with like a denim shirt. But I didn't like it. So,
no, I do like the cuffed pant, though. I do like how he has a cuff at the bottom. But yeah, he's wearing like a light denim vest. I agree though. We usually try to stick to something a little bit more exciting. This is a very basic outfit. Although he is a poet and I feel like a lot of times they wear like all black, especially when they perform. And I do like that they already kind of know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I do appreciate that. So what are you thinking about the Paul Rudd Award?
I usually like to give it to someone who's, like, pretty notable. Like, we know who they are. We see them often. But, like, I can't ignore that the cute blonde girl, like, this is very much, like, a timeless outfit. Like, you really could see someone. Obviously, you need to modernize it slightly and chop her off at the knees. But beyond that, like, I do think that you could see someone wearing this. And I think just because my eye was drawn to it multiple times this episode, I have to give it. I'm going to call her cute blonde girl because we don't know what her name is.
Yeah.
But she's going to get the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award.
I agree. I mean, like, this outfit was definitely a standout. And I agree. Like, every single time she was on the screen, I was like, who's that girl?
Yes. Yep. So congratulations to Mr. Turner and cute blonde girl, two new people on the board.
Season two. I know. So I think that we're going to see Mr. Turner a lot, like, in terms of on the board, but, you know, only time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you, Jessica. Good picks.
You picked good picks. Look at that. Us kicking it off. Correct. I don't know. The good way. Whatever. You know, we're kicking it off. Season two coming in hot. So if you would like to send in your feedback, you definitely can. We are Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, but you can find us on all social media platforms at Shit 90s Pod and also shit90spod@gmail.com if you'd like to send in your feedback. We're still kicking off with Dawson's Creek. We're up to episode 7 on that show. Loving it, living it. And obviously last week we had a whirlwind. Check out pilot season for My So-Called Life. Check out our You've Got Mail podcast that MJC guested on. That was hot.
Yeah, that was a fun podcast. We had so much fun going on his podcast on pilot season, covering My So-Called Life. Had a great time with him covering You've Got Mail. Such a great week last week, even though we were really buzzing around.
Yes, I was dead tired by the end of it, but I loved every second of it. So give all those podcasts a listen. Yep. Obviously, give us 5 stars, rate, please, review, subscribe, please, all of the above.
Yeah, Jessica. So also, we're for season two, episode two, we have a guest next week.
Yes, we do. Who is our guest, Sarah?
Her name is Kayla. Kayla Marsh. On Twitter and Instagram. You might know her from Sequester. She was like a real like killer with like Sequester minis. She's also a Survivor fan. She's a fan of RHAP. So we're really excited to cover episode 2 with her next week.
Yeah, so definitely get your feedback and send in your questions for all 3 of us next week. Super excited. We only, every once in a while, we have a guest for our normal episodic content. So super excited to welcome her on for her first time guesting with us. That's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. So, and then how's community building, my friend?
Good, good. We just did a podcast with Gabby Piscuzzi, so definitely give that a listen. And we are up to season one, episode 3. Our guest is going to be AJ Mass. We're doing introduction to film. So definitely send in any questions, feedback, community at postshowrecaps.com. Recording that on Saturday. So yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Yep. I'm excited too. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.